It's good to be with you again. Thank you for the invitation. And I was just pondering, I think, maybe wrong, but I think I preached on the last Lord's Day evening before the first lockdown. You were having communion, which means it would have been the third Lord's Day in the month, the third Sunday in March, and the lockdown was announced on the Thursday, I think, following that. So I either preached on the last Sunday night or the last but one. So it's been a long time, hasn't it? I preached once or twice on Zoom in between times, but obviously that's no substitute for meeting the Lord's people in person. So good to be here again. I trust the Lord will bless us as we look at his word together. I'm sure the folk at Bradford will send their greetings. I have to explain to them every time where Martin Topp is. They're never quite sure. But I told them this morning I was coming here, and I'm sure they'll be remembering us in prayer tonight. Let's turn to God's Word and a chapter from the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. Very short book of Ruth, just four chapters, and we'll read chapter 1. From verse 1 to the end of the chapter. Let's hear God's word together. Book of Ruth, sandwiched between the book of Judges and the first book of Samuel. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. The name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. They went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the public reading of his own precious word. You probably have guessed which the text will be, and it's verses 16 and 17. I'll read them again. Verses 16 and 17. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. The title of the message tonight is A New Life. A New Life. The book of Ruth is a very important book, despite its relative brevity. It contains much of the history of redemption. I don't think there are all that many commentaries available that are devoted entirely to Ruth. It's normally sandwiched in or at the end of a commentary on the book of Judges. It's thought by many people to be a very simple book, quite a straightforward book. Sometimes it's described as the perfect story. One writer said that no poet in the world has written a more beautiful short story. It's a splendid example of the storyteller's art. The book of Ruth deals with the period of the judges. But what a contrast it is with the book of Judges. The book of Judges is full of war and strife. The book of Ruth is about ordinary people going about their quiet lives. Particularly, it's about two women. Naomi, who underwent hardship and eventually run through to peace and security. And Ruth, who attached herself very firmly to her mother-in-law and to her mother-in-law's God, and as a result received the blessing of God. But most of all, the book of Ruth is about God. It's about seemingly unimportant people and seemingly unimportant matters, but it shows us that God is active, always active, in the affairs of men and women, and that he works out his purposes and he blesses those who trust him. The date of the book of Ruth is rather uncertain. It's placed in our Bibles in the historical books between Judges and 1 Samuel. Debate continues as to the exact date of the book, but it's generally thought to be round about the 8th century BC, in the early period of the monarchy. What are the purposes of the book of Ruth then? I'm just saying this as an introduction before we get down to looking at the text itself. Well, of course, the book was written to teach God's people against exclusivist tendencies, that God is the God who saves people from every tribe and nation. He doesn't just save the Jews, he saves the Gentiles, he saves all who come to him by faith. That's why we think of the Apostle Paul as the Apostle to the Gentiles, not to the Jews. The book, of course, extols the virtues of friendship, particularly between Ruth and Naomi, but also it tells us about family obligations and piety. It also is a book that explains some of the genealogy of King David, who's referred to in the book of Samuel as the son of Jesse. And this book, this short book of Ruth, supplies some of the missing information historically. But most of all, it's a book about the sovereignty of God. It concerns the relationship between God and man, that God is working through his people, through ordinary people, and he's bringing to pass those things which are good. He rules over all, and he brings his blessings to those who trust him. Well, we'll look this evening at Ruth's new life, and it certainly was a new life. The Apostle Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And this is beautifully illustrated in the life of Ruth, her experience and her testimony. The stranger from Moab, who came to love and follow the God of Israel. And I wonder this evening, are we new creatures? There's a challenge in the message for each one of us when we think of Ruth's new life. Are we new creatures? Have we had that call by grace? Can we say that although we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, as the Bible tells us, that we were once without hope and without God in the world, that now we've been converted, we've been born again, we've come to faith? Well, that was Ruth's experience, and this led her to the new life that we'll look at this evening. The verses that we're basing the message on this evening are very well known. They're beautiful verses, they're romantic verses. They've been described as a summer morning after a night of wild tempest. And if you've just read the book of Judges and then you come to the book of Ruth, you'll really appreciate that. Because the book of Judges is full of blood-curdling narratives. And so when you come to Ruth, it seems like a poetic interlude. But this is about the real history of Israel. And it's much more than a simple picture of social and religious life in Bethlehem at the period of the Judges. It's very important teaching concerning the remnant of God's people. A godly remnant in a dark day. A little community of the Lord who were going about their everyday life in the city of Bethlehem, but they were just a remnant. We're a remnant in our generation, aren't we, in very many ways. Some of the prayers this evening have indicated our smallness, our feebleness, our weakness. We are a remnant, just as in the shrine at Shiloh in the beginning of 1 Samuel, the priest there, Eli, living in dark days when there was just a remnant of God's people about. The word of the Lord was rare, the Bible says, in those days, and the lamp was burning dim. We've sung about that this evening before the sacred ark. But nonetheless, despite the days Ruth was living in, despite the days that Samuel was living in, despite the days we're living in, God is still working his purposes out. He's still calling his elect people by free and sovereign grace. The church is still being built, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, Ruth, of course, was going to become the mother of Obed. Obed was David's grandfather, and therefore a direct ancestress of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Esther, Ruth was an example of fine womanhood, but also a vital force in the history of redemption. She was a link in that chain that led to the manger many years later in Bethlehem. Ruth had to be brought from the land of Moab to become that new creature, to have that new life in Christ Jesus. If we are new creatures, may we know something of Ruth's spirit of consecration. Well, the four characters, as the chapter opens, a lot of Old Testament names have meanings behind them. And Elimelech means God is king. This was a godly man. He was the head of the house. He was the father. Naomi, his wife, means pleasant or lovely. The names of the two sons have rather more sinister meanings. Mahlon means weak and sickly, and of course that came to pass. Kilian means failing or pining or annihilation, and again, both of the sons died, so that too came to pass. Naomi left Bethlehem, the house of bread, to go to Moab beyond Jordan, and Moab had plenty of food. And it was a natural thing that she should want to go there with her husband because famine had hit the land of Bethlehem. Elimelech wanted to provide for his family. It was a laudable reason, but he should not have gone because he failed to trust God's promises, and he should not have fled to a foreign land. Because his family were not blessed in the land of Moab, Elimelech died. His two sons died. They had married Orpah, meaning stiff-necked, and Ruth, meaning friendship. Marriage with the Moabites was accepted, but a person who thus married could not be part of the congregation. And here, after the death of a husband and the death of her two sons, Naomi was left to face the world alone, to return home. And she urged her daughters-in-law to stay in Moab to find themselves new husbands. She felt the hand of the Lord was against her in judgment for leaving 10 years earlier when she turned her back on God's promises. How often do we do that in our lives? We turn our backs on what God has told us. We turn our backs on things that we are very well aware of. And then we need to come back and come back in a spirit of penitence and come back to where we were. The Bible says that Orpah turned back, but Ruth carried on and embraced a new life under the God of Israel. Far above all natural affection or sense of duty, she is now committed to the Lord. By faith she has become inwardly a Jew and cast her lot with God's people. So five thoughts this evening concerning Ruth's new life. All the 5 points actually begin with the letter P. Some people find that helpful, some people don't. But if you do, then if you don't remember anything else this evening, if you remember the 5 points, then they'll be a blessing and you can think of them back at home. The first one is that Ruth had a new path for her feet. She said, I will go. It was a new path for her feet. Physically, she would go to Bethlehem. It was harvest time when they arrived, and what a stir it caused. Naomi had had 10 years of tragic bereavement, and everybody looked at her and how she changed. And she said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. You remember the bitter waters of Mara? Call me bitter, because the hand of the Lord has been against me. She'd had trials and afflictions. And she must have changed quite a lot. Not only 10 years aging, but 10 years of hard bereavement and hard family life have brought her back and looking much older than 10 years. They said, can it be Naomi? But these trials and afflictions, just as they are in our lives, the Lord can use them for our good. He can sweeten and sanctify them to us. Naomi had gone out full. He'd come back empty. Hebrews tells us that no chastening seemeth for the present to be joyous. And in Ruth's experience, it didn't seem good, and yet God would bring good out of it. And more than barley harvest was to be harvested, because Ruth became a channel of blessing to many. And out of her experience, God would mightily work. I will go. It was a new path for her feet. How reminiscent it is of the words of the dear Lord Jesus when he set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. He looked at the cross, said, I will go. Here I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Ruth said, I will go. A new path for her feet. Are we willing to tread that new path? Are we willing to go where God is leading us? I remember a little chorus, and you won't know it, going back many, many years. I only heard it in the 70s, I suppose, and never heard it since. But it has always spoke to my heart. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do thy perfect will. And if valleys must be trod to do thy will, O God, then I'll walk them, Lord, or climb the highest hill. Yes, Ruth had been made willing in the day of God's power. A new path for her feet. But then she had a new place for her home. She says, I will lodge. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. She had a new place for her home. Now when we think about this, Ruth probably had a mother, or she did according to verse 8, and probably other loved ones in the land of Moab, but she left them. She had a new place for her home. She left her family for a bleak and unpromising future. What a test it was for her. And when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes it seems that we're leaving all behind and we're launching out into the deep, and it's perhaps an unpromising future for us. We're nervous about it and we wonder what we're going to lose. But Ruth was determined. She says, I will lodge. She was coming to a foreign land. She was coming like Moses of old to endure affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. She learnt to call this foreign land her home. Now the Lord's people, those who have this new life, they can only really be at home with the Lord's people. Their home is with those who truly love the Lord. True Christians don't remain in the land of Moab. They come to their new home. They don't seek the world and its vain joys. They're only happy where the truth is preached, where their hungry souls are fed week by week, where the Master bids us to come and dine, where manna is sent down from on high. The home is where we belong, in the house of God, with our family. A new place for a home. I will lodge. But then she had a new people as well, didn't she? Not only a new path and a new place, she had a new people. She had a whole new circle of friends, a whole new family. She said, thy people shall be my people. And she received not only a place for her home, but she received a people for her friends. The psalmist says he setteth the solitary in families. Here was Ruth, she was solitary, but God was going to set her in families. And the Church of Jesus Christ is the most wonderful family to belong to. When we come out of the world and we're born again and we come to faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and we realize the only solution for that is to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, we become part of the great family of the Church. And whilst we're individually saved, it's a personal experience, nonetheless, we are saved that we might have a new people for our friends, that we might identify with the Church of God, that we might worship with them, that we might live together with them. And so we ought not to be seeking worldly friendships. The Bible says, how can two walk together if they're not agreed? And our former friends may start to speak evil of us as we don't run to the same excess of riot. Well, Ruth had to settle to a new life. Thy people shall be my people. And she began to share in the joys and the sorrows of God's people. There was no turning back. She was committed not just to Naomi, but to all of God's people. And new friendships flow from our conversion. Have you ever thought about the Apostle Paul when he was converted on the Damascus Road? The Bible tells us he spent several days with his new family, with his new people, with his new friends. And those people that he persecuted, they were then his friends and he wanted to be with them. It was a new people for him too. And the Church of Jesus Christ is a new people. The Bible says we're members, one of another. One of the words for the church is ecclesia, meaning the called out ones. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that the church is a body and we all have a part to play in it. There's no such thing, as far as I can see, as independent Christians who do their own thing and they don't join with anybody. We can't go it alone. Ruth found lovingly and willingly that God's people had taken her into their hearts, a new people for her friends. Thy people shall be my people. Then fourthly, Ruth had a new power for her life. Thy God, my God. Thy God, my God. A new power for her life. After all the years of suffering, there was a new power to help her. When we come to Christ and we have this new path and this new place and this new circle of friends, this new people, we also have a new power because the Holy Spirit indwells the Church of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit sanctifies the people of God. The Holy Spirit blesses us and builds us up in the most holy faith. The Holy Spirit keeps us on that straight and narrow way that leadeth to life. And how favored we are in this New Testament age that the Holy Spirit is with us. The Comforter, the Paraclete, that heavenly dove. The Spirit of truth who leads us into all truth, and he is with us for always, revealing the things of Christ to our souls, giving us that foretaste of heaven divine, and daily to be filled with the Holy Spirit, giving experience power to live above this dark world. And God's people are not called to defeat. They're called to be victorious in their faith and to be overcomers, enduring to the end. When I was a teenager and newly converted, I used to think that text, enduring to the end, meant we had to work incredibly hard so that we kept our salvation and kept on the straight and narrow. But that's not the case. The elect people of God will endure to the end. It's a fact in the scripture. We cannot do other than endure to the end, not in our own strength, but in the strength of him who has called us. Ruth had a new power for her life. Thy God shall be my God. And how much we need the Spirit's guidance day by day. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now Ruth had been brought up to believe in the heathen god of the Moabites. Chemosh was the name of that god. And now she is changed. She is now going to follow the Lord, the true God of Israel. She's going to confess the covenant name of Jehovah. She's going to enter into that personal relationship with this God. Thy God shall be my God. If she lived in the Old Testament, in the New Testament era, she might have said, I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. A new power for her life. But then finally she had a new prospect for her future. Where thou diest, I will die. This was true conversion. It wasn't just for a year or two. It wasn't just to get her over a tricky situation and a bereavement and get her settled into a new land. It was something that would see her through forever and forever. Where thou diest, I will die. Now like everybody, Ruth would die. But that wasn't the end of commitment. This new life that Ruth was experiencing would take her into eternity after a lifetime of commitment. What a prospect. And how easily do we take our eyes off this prospect? One text I just love so much in Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What a man of faith he was. Hundreds, thousands of years before, he could look to a city not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And tonight, dear friends, we can be found looking unto that same Jesus, keeping our eyes upon the guide, making our calling and election sure, holding fast our profession, keeping the blessed hope in view. Yes, she had a new prospect for her future. And of course, this wonderful text, these two verses that form the basis of the message tonight, wonderful though they are, they're only a taster to the wonderful truth of the book of Ruth, that it is the history of redemption and leads us ultimately to David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So rejoice tonight in these words of commitment. Experience something of that new life that Ruth had. But remember, it leads to something even greater in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. Now Ruth's commitment was sealed with a vow. The Lord do so to me, and so on and so forth. Entreat me not. Do not try to persuade me otherwise. That's what she's saying. I don't want to go back to Moab. I don't want to go back to the world. She wouldn't easily be swayed till death us do part. There was no turning back. And the Lord's people don't put their hands to the plough and turn back, or they're not fit for the kingdom of God. And remember what the Apostle John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Nothing shall separate us, nothing shall separate Ruth from the love of Christ. Do you know that new life tonight? Have you found a new path for your feet, a new place for your home, a new people for your friends, a new power for your life, and a new prospect for your future? May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and encourage us in the things of God. Amen.